standing as we read our text this evening. Appreciate the good singing tonight. Amen. Our young people are coming right along. Appreciate Brother Billy working with them. Miss Hall working with them. You ladies that's helping on the musical for Thanksgiving. I'm going to tell you, we got some talented young people. But it takes somebody that loves young people to work with them on a consistent basis. And for the lack of better words, we'll motivate them, push them a little bit. You get a whole lot out of a young person or anybody really, but you got to push them to do it. This old flesh of ours, all of us now, all of us, this old flesh wants to sit down and have it a little easy. And we don't really want to excel in anything. But if we'll be pushed just a little bit, why, we can do a great deal more. And there's a whole lot more talent yet in these young people that have never been brought out. Now, I'm going to ask your attention tonight as I try to preach and ask you to pray for me. I'm going to deal with something tonight that I feel like needs to be dealt with right now. I want you to, and the reason of it is because of what Brother Anderson preached on Tuesday. And I want to preach somewhat of a follow-up message on that. I want you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 128. Psalm 128. I'm preaching a message that Billy Benedict heard the very first time he ever heard me preach. I believe. And I preached it here in 1999 on August the 22nd of 1999. I want to preach it to you tonight. Psalm 128. And 28 in your Bible, please. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Amen. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, Amen. And thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, Amen. And peace upon Israel. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that portion of Scripture tonight. I ask you to do pray for Brother Hall and give me your undivided attention. I'm going to need it because I'm not up as much on this as what I need to be to preach it. I'm going to need a lot of grace and a lot of help. And so I ask you to try to give me as much attention as you can. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight for the good singing we've enjoyed. How it's blessed my heart and stirred me as we listen to these young people sing. And Lord, as we sing the hymns of the faith that's blessed the people of God down through the ages. I want to thank you tonight, Lord, for the privilege to be back in church. For the opportunity to preach the gospel, to preach the word of God. Lord, I come tonight looking to Thee for help, for grace, for strength, for that anointing power that the Spirit of God gives. I pray for liberty tonight to preach and understanding and wisdom. I pray You'll give listening hearts from Your people. May Thy word tonight, Lord, not only just be preached, but may it prick the hearts and penetrate the hearts of God's people tonight, that the hearts and the spirits of Your people might be cheered. And Lord, we might truly find revival in our own soul and, Lord, at the house of God. I pray now that You would save sinners and glorify Yourself. And help me, I pray. I need Your divine help and wisdom tonight. And I'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You. And you may be seated. Out of verse number 2 in the last part of that verse, the Bible said, happy shalt thou be. And it shall be well with thee. Amen. Brother Anderson brought a tremendous message Tuesday night on marriage. And I heard him preach on marriage using a different text and different thoughts altogether again on Thursday night. And the statement that he made here that our church will never be any stronger than what our homes are, that is absolutely correct. But our people will never, our home will never be any stronger than what our relationship to the Lord is. And I tell you, the home ought to be a happy place, should it not? Most homes today out in the world, most of them are just battlegrounds. They're a war zone. If you think it's dangerous in Iraq, I'll guarantee you that's nothing compared to what goes on in the homes of 99% of the lost people in America today. It's probably more dangerous there than it is in Iraq. The streets of Detroit, Michigan is more dangerous than what the streets are in Iraq. There's more people died by killings every year in America than died the first year in the war in Iraq. Tells me it'd be safer to live there than it is to live here. But thank God you and I that are saved have a safe haven. And we've got a home that God has provided for us. And a family that God has provided for us. And I want to preach for a little while on that thought tonight, how to have a happy home. How to have a happy family. We're not happy in church because we're not happy at home. And generally we're not happy at home because there's something going wrong in the family structure, maybe down on the job or somewhere else, or something in our life that we're just not satisfied with. For God's people to be really happy, they're going to have to first be satisfied. And if we're not satisfied in what we're doing in life, and we're not satisfied in the way things are around the home, we're not going to be satisfied at church. And if we're not satisfied, then we're never going to be happy, church. And my text tells me that happy shall that man be. Happy shall that man be. And I see so many of our people today, not only here, but in a number of places, that they're you can tell by their countenance, they're not happy. They're unhappy. I guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, if your heart is happy and full of the grace of God, it will reflect sooner or later on your countenance. You cannot help but occasionally allow a smile or a tear from your eyes if you're happy in your heart. It'll just come up that way. And our families ought to be a happy place. Wouldn't you agree with that? The home ought to be a place of joy and happiness. I want to try to preach a little while on that. I read somewhere where a man once said that youth is a blunder. That manhood is a struggle. And old age is a regret. I'll tell you, that is a sad and a cheerless view of life's progress. To be blundering in my youth and to be without any victory at all in my middle years, and then when I grow old, I have nothing at all to look forward to, and I have nothing to look back to of any kind of accomplishment in my life. I'll tell you, that is a terrible view to have of life itself. And I'll say this, that may be true, ladies and gentlemen, in measure of a life that is separated from godliness. But I'll tell you, it certainly is not true in a life that is allied with godliness. Now, that Bible said that God will bless a man that fears Him. Oh yes, that Bible said God will make a man happy that fears Him. That Bible said that God will bless a man that will trust in Him. I want to say to you on the authority of the Word of God, for a family and a home, ladies and gentlemen, that live by godly principles, that statement just don't hold water. We and I, as God's people, we live by Bible principles. We live by godly principles. Amen. And I'll tell you, if we live that way and live a godly life, then youth is certainly not a blunder, but it's a wise purpose and a glowing hope. I say to all our young people, and I believe with all of my heart tonight, that God is beginning to work in the young people at Island Ford Baptist Church. I've listened to them sing. Oh, they're not perfect and they're still kids. I want you to understand that they're still children. And they're certainly not perfect. But I have listened to them sing and I've watched their life. And I'm telling you that I believe that crowd of young people that stood in that choir tonight, that God is working in their life. I want to say to the young people tonight that your youth doesn't have to be a blunder. You don't have to get strung out on dope. You don't have to get strung out on liquor. You don't need the nightlife. You don't need to live in the fast lane and the wild side of life. You can come to the house of God and give your life to Jesus. And have a happy teenage life and be productive in your teenage years. Amen. So many of our young people got the idea they got to sow their wild oats. No, you don't have to sow any wild oats. I won't say right there, if you sow them, you're going to reap. That is right. If you sow your wild oats, you're going to reap to the whirlwind, ladies and gentlemen. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I'll tell you, if you'll reap, if you'll sow in your younger years, I'll guarantee you, you will reap in your older years for God. Amen. Amen. Come on in the house now. I want to say to our young people that you ought to have a purpose in life and have a hope for the future. You girls of marrying a godly man and building a family. You young boys of marrying a godly young lady and building a home and a family that will live for God. I'm not talking about living in the world. I'm talking about living for God. I'm not talking about drinking liquor. I'm talking about drinking from a fountain. Amen, nay, brother, not a fountain, but a river. Oh, yes, dragging from rivers of living water is what I'm talking about. A drink that will make you happy without a hangover. Amen. Come on in the house now. You can have a glowing hope. You can look out to the future and see yourself married to a fine Christian spouse. And raising a godly family. And keeping them in the house of God. And I want to say that manhood doesn't have to be a struggle. I know a lot of people today that are struggling. And some of you I know right now seem to be struggling to make ends meet. But you might not be struggling near as bad as what you think you are. Amen. Manhood is not a struggle. Manhood is a conquest and a joy, ladies and gentlemen. God has made us more than conquerors in our life. I'll tell you, young married couples here, now is the time that you ought to rise to the course and be a conqueror of sin in your life. And be an overcomer of troubles in your life. And be an overcomer of temptation in your life. And be an overcomer of problems in your life. Some of you have sat down on your blessed assurance and succumbed to troubles. And you don't give a flip about the house of God, you're just here. And rather than being more than a conqueror, you've been a conqueror. I'd hate to think I'd let some little old pea-piddling problem get on my back and stay there and I couldn't shake it off. Said, I'm telling you, I'm 58 years old, but I've never seen a problem yet I couldn't shake off and go on for God. I've never carried a load too heavy that He won't take for me. I'll tell you, if you'll ever learn to back up to Jesus and dump your load on Him, He'll carry it for you. Hallelujah, you don't have to be weighted down with troubles and heartaches and griefs. I'll tell you, you can conquer every enemy in your manhood and have joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen to God. That's right. Amen. I've had a few setbacks. I'm going to tell you what I do when I'm set back. I load my King James 16 Bible with all of the ammunition it can take. And I come back at the devil shooting again, buddy. Amen. You don't have to have an AR-15 to fight your battles. I'll guarantee you, King James 16:11, buddy. You're loaded to the hilt, it'll do the job. You can find in that book something, whatever it takes to solve every problem you have in life. and have joy in serving God. One of our men told me this morning, said, I was happier when I had nothing than I am now. See, we think things will make us happy. Things won't make you happy. Heaven or what you consider the right job will not make you happy. I'm going to tell you what will make you happy, ladies and gentlemen. Establishing a right relationship with the Lord. On that hinges everything in life. Your relationship to the Lord. If it's right, everything else will just fall into place. Hallelujah to God. Woo! Glory! God will give you legs that will leap over the top of your problems. Help you to run through the wall of obstacles that the devil set before you. You can run through a troop and leap over a wall and have victory in God and have fun doing it. I've never enjoyed it anymore when the devil just lets me, when the Lord lets me smack a devil in the face real good. Spit in his eye. Now, I can't do it on my own, but I'm going to tell you, I'm more than conquerors through Him who loved me. And so are you. You don't have to struggle. That's what I'm telling you. You can be a conqueror. You can be more than a conqueror if you get into the Bible and let the Bible rule and dictate your life. Lean upon God. Never seen so many unhappy people. Now, the word that, by the way, that word blessed only simply means happy. Just means happy.
Amen.
And you can be happy. And you don't have to struggle.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, old age don't have to be a regret.
Amen.
But it can be a rich memory and a glorious prospect.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Some men grow old and they regret everything they've done in life.
Amen.
They turn 65 or 70 and it's time to retire and they've done absolutely nothing in life. Their life has been spent for nothing. And they have, amen. Somebody said, oh, I'm going to work my life for money. Buddy, you better lay her up in heaven and forget putting her in CDs. I'd hate to grow 70 years old, look back over my life and have nothing spiritual that I could rejoice over. I'm glad, thank God, Brother Robert, I can look back. At 58 years, and I'm going to tell you, there's some memories I'd like to blot out of my mind. Woo! But I'm going to tell you, I got some good memories.
Yeah.
Hallelujah to God.
Yeah.
I remember that Sunday afternoon when Sister Hall come walking down the aisle of that little Methodist church. Woo! Glory to God. I remember when all three of my children were born into this world. Hallelujah. I remember the day God saved me, glory to His wonderful name. And the night that God called me to preach the Word of God. I'm telling you, I look back at some fond and wonderful memories. And then, a year prior to me coming here, and since I've been here, I've watched all three of my children get married. I've seen 14 wonderful grandkids come into this world. I'm telling you, I'm 58 years old, but I got some real memories. Seeing them spank them little babies on the hind end when they come into the world. Watching my children and watching my son-in-laws and my boy when them kids was coming into the world, son, and swelling that. I'm telling you, what a memory. I tell you, I have no regrets, Brother James. Woo! Hallelujah to God. And you know what's better than that? I can look on ahead and there's a glorious prospect on ahead that the family circle will not be broken over on the other side.
Amen.
Hallelujah. They all in the house of God serving God, and I got some grandkids coming up. They may go astray. But I'm a praying for them.
Amen.
Are you listening to me tonight?
Amen.
Don't grow old and look back at life and have too many regrets. Be able to look back and say, through it all, God was a blessing me and my family.
Amen.
God was a blessing me and my home. And I'm going to tell you what makes a difference. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord.
Amen.
Blessed, happy, happy, happy is the man that fears the Lord.
Amen
and amen. I read where this psalm was probably sung at Jewish people sang at the time of marriage. They said it was intended to express the joy and happiness that can be found when a home is managed upon godly principles.
Amen.
The husband, the wife, and the children all having a right relationship to the Lord and finding their respective responsibilities in the family structure. Now I'm telling you, that's the only way that you'll ever be happy.
Amen.
Around that house. Now, I don't intend to stay there, but I'm telling you, the formula is written down in the book of Colossians. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And children, obey your parents. That is a recipe, buddy. And the structure and anything outside of that will bring destruction and havoc to your home. I'm going to tell you, whenever you got a rebellious kid, you think some of you young folks think you've got it rough now. You wait till the teenage years begin to hit on them little children that seem so sweet. And I hope none of them do. My heart is right with you. I hope none of them do. But I'm telling you, chances are that some of them will. And there's nothing that will break a mother's heart anymore than a child that will not listen to godly principles and instruction from their mother and father. Oh, I'm telling you, a rebellious child will bring a mother and a father grief and heartache. Now, I'm telling you, that child that is saved and obedient to the Bible and submitted and obedient to his parents, friend, I'm telling you, they can bring real joy and happiness to a family. You can trust them. You don't have to worry about them getting out somewhere and getting in trouble. You can trust that child. To even be alone if the need arises. I'll tell you something else. You take a wife. Some of you men can say amen right here now. You take a wife that has no submissive attitude whatsoever. Brother, I mean, she'll let you know right quick she wears the pants of the house. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, nothing will throw a house out of cancer anymore than a loud-mouthed, bobbed-head, bossy woman. Amen, Brother Hall. Now, I'm not saying there ought to be something you wipe your feet on, but I am telling you the Bible says that her desire would be to warn that man.
Amen.
I've learned, I've been married almost 38 years. I want every one of you to listen to me right here. I have learned that the more that I give myself to my wife, the more Christ gives himself to me. And the more I give myself to my wife, the more loving and understanding and submissive she becomes. Because she sees me as making right decisions and leading her rightly. And we've been married 38 years and there's been bumps along the road. But I'm telling you, by the grace of God, I believe that I've got enough experience to back up what I'm preaching tonight. My wife is not rebellious. She is submissive, ladies and gentlemen. And I'll tell you what helped her to be submissive, you ladies can say amen right here, is because she knows she's got a husband that loves her.
Amen.
You can get a hold of this. That Bible said husbands love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
Amen.
And if you never get a hold of how much he loves you,
right,
then there's the example for how much we ought to love our wives.
Yes.
I'm telling you, I've come to this conclusion that 95% of our spiritual life, the prosperity of our spiritual life, stems from the husband and wife relationship in the home. I guarantee you 99% of the troubles a family has can stem from a problem between the husband and the wife. Amen. Men, that, loving your wives as Christ did, that means giving yourself to her.
Amen.
Come on in the house, not
Amen.
Being selfish
Amen.
Or self-willed, but giving your life for her.
Amen.
And I've learned the more I give myself to her, the happier our home is.
Amen.
And the more I give, the more she submits, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, as it works, the happier our home is. Where are you going, Buckwheat?
Me, grandkid. That's one of them memories you can look back on.
When I'm 70 years old, I hope I can look back and say, boy, I remember that night, that little old Buckwheat Jr. that I come tolling out across there to Grandpa while I was preaching.
Woo! Glory to God. Somebody said, that ain't much, nor it lit a fire in my heart, though, buddy. But I'm telling you, if you're right with God, you can look at your family, and I'll tell you, the little things, they do a lot of fire in your heart.
I know that's right. Stay right with me. Stay right with me. I want to point out the husband. Notice in verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. That walketh in His ways. May I say there is the husband's first responsibility. Come on now, don't leave me. I know you're tired, but don't leave me. I've got a burden. I've got to get it off my heart. The husband ought to be a man that fears the Lord. I'm telling you, reverential fear of God is what, ladies and gentlemen? It is the cornerstone of our faith, and it's the cornerstone of happiness in our family. Amen. The fear of the Lord is the cornerstone of all blessedness. We're going to have to reverence God before God is ever going to bless us. You think you're going to get the best of God when you give Him absolutely nothing of yourself? When I'm talking about the word fear, there means reverential trust. It means having confidence in Him. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you're not trusting God, if you're not fearing God, you can't expect God to ever bless you. We're running around there wondering where God, why God ain't blessing my family, and the head of the family is as rebellious and stubborn as a mule. You ain't going to have nothing from God, friend. You can forget it. You'll never have happiness in your home until you learn to establish a right relationship between you and God. And it starts with man's fear of God. By the way, I want to hit that leg. Hey, there's not much fear of God anymore. I saw a thing the other day, had something on the obelisk. I don't remember what it was. It said, fear this. I'm going to tell you, you better learn to fear. You better learn to fear God. Don't fear man that can kill your body, but you better fear God that can kill your body and destroy your soul in hell. There wouldn't be near as much sin if we had a fear of God. If we really felt, knew there was a God in heaven, He had saved us, and we had fear of Him, I'll guarantee you we wouldn't sin like we do. I had a daddy that chastised me, ladies and gentlemen, and I learned to fear him. But he did it for his own pleasure, is what the book of Hebrews said. But I'm telling you, there's a God over yonder on the other side that knows how to chastise us that it might produce the peaceable fruit of righteousness in our lives. Amen. And hey, some of you in here, I can point you out and call your name. You ain't got a bit more fear of God. You have shown absolutely no trust or fear of God, Daddy. And you wonder why God ain't blessing you. Your kids will grow up someday and you'll wonder what happened to them. You've got a wife that's beat her brains out and tried to raise your kids, and you've been a pure idiot. And let her try to carry the load while you mully grubbed around at your little pity party, wanting everybody to feel sorry for you. And the whole problem all the time is you have never established that right relationship with God and had a reverential fear of God in your heart. I'm going to tell you, the only reason God ain't moved already is because of His mercy.
Amen.
Some lives. I'm satisfied with that. Is anybody listening to me? We're going to have to fear Him before we can ever be blessed ourselves.
Amen.
I'm talking about having trust and confidence. I want you to get a hold of this now. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways.
Amen.
That father should be a person of maturity, of stability,
and of strength. Brother Jacob back there brought his fiancée to church on Tuesday night and said, "Here's my fiancée." I said, "Well, you know, when you get married, there's some responsibilities come along."
Amen.
I said, he said, "Yeah, probably gonna have to sell my big truck. I can't call it, you know, I won't have enough money, gonna have to sell my truck." And I said, "Well, you're gonna have to have a good job. You're gonna support that woman." He said, "I'm gonna do like you, Brother Hall, and ask Mama for $3 to get married on." I said, I wouldn't advise that, buddy. I wouldn't advise that from nobody. But I'm telling you, hey, you girls, listen up to me. Some of you young ladies, you're getting to that age. And some of you boys, them little eyes are just a batting and a fluttering. Brother Hall ain't no fool. But I'm telling you that when a man gets married, he ought to have some kind of maturity about him and stability about him in life. He cannot be some little fickle-minded idiot that has no responsibility of a job, of working and providing for his family. Making a home for them.
Amen.
I'm telling you, we get them little eyeballs a-fluttering. I remember the day Knucklehead over here come in with his knees a-knocking.
Amen.
Lisa come in the house sometime a day or two before that and said, "Daddy, I want to marry Doug. What do you think?" I said, "No." And she said, "Well, I knew you was going to say that."
Amen.
Then he come in and chickened out the first time.
Amen.
He did have an income. I'm simply saying we got a lot of teenage boys running out and getting married. And they don't have 1 ounce of maturity about them. Touch behind their ears, you'll feel there's still a little moisture back there. Some of them still wearing diapers. Amen. Green and wet behind the ears. Listen up, girls. Don't you marry some little old fickle boy. Just because he might, and I'm not throwing this at Jacob, he might have a monster truck 10 feet high. It's going to take more than a monster truck to build a home. It's going to take somebody that's got a vine and a head on their shoulders, and they're willing to use that head to make a living for that girl they marry and the family they're raising. Better believe that. And the same goes for you, boy. Don't you marry some little fickle-minded girl. I don't know bats about ironing clothes and cooking pinto beans and cornbread. Amen and amen. I'm going home to my mommy. I told her when she went out, I said, "You're his. Cord's been cut." Ain't that what I said? The cord's cut. I'll help you in any way I can, but you made the bed, lay it.
Right.
That's what I tell all of you. And so I said, "I haven't been, you made the bed, lay it."
Amen.
But I'm telling you, if you call out to God and learn to fear God,
amen,
even in the problems and troubles, God can give you a happy marriage and a happy home.
Amen.
God can save these kids in here. Oh, yes, and God can put the joy of the Holy Ghost in them.
Amen.
Us older folks can come to church and let them run a while. Back and rear back and let them jump up and down a little while. I'm about out of breath anyway, getting old. I need somebody to pick up the baton and run in my place a little while. I'd pick out one of these young men and let them do it. Just to point them. Say, "When I say run, run, him and his run." Hallelujah. I want to say a husband ought to have tender love for his little ones. He'll lay himself out to do them good.
Amen.
I'll tell you, some of these men don't know what it's like to love a child.
Amen.
They come home on Friday night about 10 o'clock and they've done been where they ought not to be and they're broke.
Amen.
They've never learned to provide for a family.
Amen.
That's called selfishness, gentlemen.
Amen.
Or they come home and they've went and bought a tool they thought they had to have that cost $480.
Amen.
Or a rifle or a gun they just had to have.
Yeah.
Or a bow and arrow they just had to have.
Yeah.
Or a bass boat they just had to have.
Yeah.
And they're living in a $5,000 house and got a $25,000 bass boat sitting out in front of them.
Yeah.
And I'm not throwing no stones at nobody, but I've seen these young couples, and I'll say I'm not throwing any stones, but I've seen these young couples trucking down the road in a four-wheel dually, 4x4, $40,000 and about a $40,000 horse trailer behind them, and got about $350 bayback, swayback nags up in that trailer. And they're going to the horse show. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you can blow your money and blow your finances on the wind. The wind will carry it away. You better have a mind on you that you've got a family to provide for. Husband and mama both better realize that. If you realize that, I guarantee you, you keep peace and happiness around that family. I'm going to tell you, a man ought to give himself for his children totally. Or just lay yourself all on the altar. God laid himself on the altar for his children. Don't turn me off now. Come on now. Come on. The Father. We're going to lay out ourselves for our kids. We're going to have to seek to please him and submit to his obedience and fear. Have a fear of offending him. We're going to have to walk in his ways. That is the pathway of blessing. If the heart is joined unto the Lord, the feet will follow hard after him. Ain't that what it says in verse 1? That walketh in his ways. And if our heart has been joined to the Lord, our feet will line up with our heart and we'll walk in the ways of the Lord. Is anybody left listening? Christian like that will not be up and down, then and out. There will be obedience revealed in the Word of God. And that Word will, that pathway is paved with present blessings. It leads to eternal blessedness, and it was trodden by him in whom we are blessed. I want to say that if you walk in his ways, ladies and gentlemen, it is paved with nothing but blessing. Woo! You know what I find along them ways? I find every now and then a little handful of purpose. Amen. Holy Ghost, Paul's coming along this way. Drop him a little.
Amen.
Drop him another little chunk.
Amen.
Drop him another little handful.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, every handful he drops has got a purpose.
Amen.
The pathway that we walk in is filled with present blessings from him, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
You better believe it. Walking in the light as he is in the light. Paved with present blessing.
Amen.
It leads to eternal blessing. Somebody said the yellow brick road. No, it ain't no yellow brick road, and we're not going to Ozland.
Amen.
Or whatever you call it. And I'm not tin man. God's not tin man or the lion. But I'm telling you, there is a pathway of blessing. There is a highway of righteousness, is what Isaiah said. That leads all the way to the throne of God. And you can be happy every step of the way, Daddy, if you'll fear God and learn to lay yourself out for your family. Hallelujah. Notice number 2 here very quickly. He works to provide his portion. I've already mentioned that. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee.
Amen.
See, when a man learns to labor with his own hands.
Amen.
And to provide for his family.
Amen.
There's just something about that, ladies and gentlemen. You know I'm telling you right.
Amen.
That a man like what that's saying there, you're going to reap what you sow. You better believe it. One may toil by the sweat of his brow. Another by the sweat of his brain. But I'm telling you that there's no difference in the blessing.
Right.
That is right. We got fellas in here that are carpenters and they work every day with their hands.
Amen.
We've got men in here that like Brother George and Brother James now laying tile and they work every day.
Amen.
With their hands. Brother Billy works every day with his hands. And we've got other men like Brother Steve and Brother Doug that work every day with their hands on it in a different way.
Amen.
They're pumping the keys of that computer.
But I'm telling you, regardless, if you'll do that energetically for the glory of God and lay yourself out for your family, it makes no difference whether your brain is sweating or your brow. But brother, God will honor that and bless that family. That man will lay himself out and not be afraid of W-O-R-K. I've seen some men work harder trying to get out of work than they would if they do the job. I passed him up there the other day working on the city. We were driving by and Miss Hall said, look over there. I said, don't even have to look. One working, five standing. She said, you counted right. One leaning on a shovel. Another bumped up against the truck. Other squatted down with a cigarette. And one fell down in a ditch with a shovel digging. Five of them down around. One man in a ditch of digging. Real industrious crowd. Hey, that's right. And I've seen some men that will run to get out of work. Run to hide. I've seen men actually hide to get out of work. I'm telling the right then, ain't it, Brother Jerome? Brother Jerome said, I work with one of them. That's pitiful. A man that will not work ought not to eat, what the Bible says. If you will not provide for your own home, you've denied the faith and you are worse than an infidel. Well, I'll tell you, we ought to go off to the job happy. Somebody said, you wouldn't if it was my job. I'd try to. By the way, I've been there, done that, and got a t-shirt. I've worked in warehouses. I've done a little carpenter work. I've done drywall work. I've done about it all. I've mixed mud for my brothers while they plastered. I've done it all. I've caught chickens. Five in one hand, four in the other. Catch them and give them to the carrier, and he's carrying them out. Anybody listening to me, I've done it all. I'm not a stranger to work. We're raising a generation that does not want to work. If I was there, if I was a woman married to one of them, he was too lazy to work, I'd start a shoe shop in his backside, buddy. From sun up to sundown is what that book says. And I'm going to tell you, we're not happy if we're not working right and working right for God. We're not happy. Someone said, I can't be happy working. You can't be happy not working. Stay right with me now. I'm about to get done, I hope. About to leave the men alone anyway. Look at the wife here in verse number 3. The wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about the table. She is a fruitful vine in producing children. And I'm going to say something about that in just a minute. I hope I don't make nobody mad, but I'm going to say what I'm going to say anyway. 1 Timothy 5:14. Let's read it together. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give not occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Ain't that what it says? Younger women get married. God made woman for man. And He made that woman and that man to marry one another. And by the way, I just got to hit it. Pardon me, didn't call them Adam and Steve. Adam and Eve. One man and one woman. God, you can tell He wasn't a Mormon. He didn't make three or four women. He made one. Amen. Is anybody listening? She's a fruitful vine. She guides the house. I believe the complete domestic bliss. Children sinned. They come as a lawful fruit of marriage. Can you get a hold of that? Children are a lawful fruit of marriage. God said here that they'll be like olive plants round about the table. God intended woman to bear children. Was anybody at all left listening? I'm going to say this, and it's going to hurt some of you. For grapes, the vine was planted. And for children, the wife was provided. He is to bear children. And to be a keeper of hope. But I'm going to say this. The last time I said this, some people really turned me off. You'd have to know where I was. Brother Billy and Miss Gwen was there. But I want to say this, and don't get mad at me, but I'm telling you, your wife is not a brood sow. She's not to be killed bearing a child every year. You'll kill. She ain't going to live a long life, man. I'm just telling you all that, but you know what I'm saying? It's abortion, fool. You've listened to one man's opinion. I'm going to tell you, you better read the Bible instead of taking one man's opinion. There are seasons, ladies and gentlemen. There are seasons. I know where I'm at, and I know there's children in here, but I'm telling you, if you cannot contain yourself, you don't have much temperance in you, sir. Amen. If a woman is not strong spiritually, and she's loaded down with 15 children, and they're all in diapers and sucking on a bottle, I'm just telling you, it's going to be a hard pull for that woman. And I believe with all my heart that God wants us to homeschool, but I'm telling you, it is hard to homeschool with four kids hanging on your dress tail trying to teach four others. Morning in the house. It's getting real quiet now. Somebody said, Brother Halton went to meddling. You better believe it. Somebody needs to meddle. And may I say, if mama ain't happy, they ain't nobody happy. Am I telling it right or not? And I'll just go on and say this. If daddy ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. I've lived long enough to see it. My wife and I have lived long enough, I can get a little peeved, and she'll say, what's wrong? When she clams up, she's being her. But when I clam up, problem time, she knows it. We sat down to eat lunch the other day, and she said, I want to ask you a question. I said, what's that, sweetheart? What's wrong? I said, oh, nothing. She said, how long we've been married? I had to fess up. Amen. I'm here to tell you, daddy can make an unhappy and an unpleasant home as well. Amen. I said it takes daddy right, mama right, children right for the home to be happy.
Amen. Woman was made, her womb was made to be fruitful. Angie and Benny went without a child for 10 years, right?
Amen.
Or longer. And I'll never forget that day when Benny called me that morning. We was getting ready to cross that border down there.
Amen.
Said Angie was expecting a baby. Amen. Hallelujah to God. The doctor said it couldn't be done. The doctor said it never happened. But I'm going to tell you what them doctors didn't know.
Amen.
Angie had a dad-in-law that knows God. Dad-in-law been
praying.
And I tell you, I'm not boasting or bragging, but I know when I touch him. And I can take you back to the day upstairs over yonder I touched him.
But I won't say this. If a woman is barren, she can still be a consolation and a comfort. Even if they bear no children. They can be barren and yield, one writer said, the wine of consolation and clusters of comfort to her husband.
Amen.
By showing kindness. By showing affection. By being helpful.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something, ladies. If you're not planning on having any more children, or if you're my age and you're Abraham and Sarah, you can still be a comfort to one another and a consolation to one another just simply by being kind. Just telling that woman every now and then you love her and hearing her say, I love you too, sweetheart. Don't about run your head through a wall. I know a little bit about them special occasions too. I got hooked on $100 vase of flowers, but are you listening? That woman said, how much you want to spend? I said, I don't know. Not, you know, I want to be good to her. I got my bill down there that night. I think the meal was about $40 and the flowers was $100. I like swallowed my tongue, but I would have hadn't been a crowd of people in that little room. But you know what? I got coming home and I said, hey, she's worth it. Worth it over 1,000 times over, she's worth it. And 1,000,000 times over, she's worth it. If God thought you and I was worth His Son dying for, she ought to be worth us giving ourselves to it $100 on, not to break us up and make us mad. If you're going to spend something on her and grumble about it, you sorry devil. I'm not quite as sweet as Brother Anderson was the other night. Joy from a fruitful wife and solid comfort from a growing family are two of the choicest products that earth can yield. Did you know our family is a garden for the Lord? Raising children. Somebody said, I'm going to raise me a big garden next year. Well, we'll raise a family too. Raising that family, Daddy, means keeping them in the house of God. Praying for them on a regular basis. Having family altar around the house. Gathering your kids around an old little old piano or a little old keyboard at night and have prayer and sing a few hymns. Read a chapter or two out of the Bible to them. I'm telling you, it'll work, ladies and gentlemen. Don't ask me how it works, but it works. Notice also in verse number 3 that she is a fruitful homekeeper. The Bible said, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. She's not up at the bank, gentlemen. Working as a teller. She's not donned on her britches and standing out on the WK Parkway with a sign that says, flagger up ahead. They used to say flagman, now they say flagger. Amen. Stopped in up for the day Kelsey was born, went in a restaurant to eat. Benny and myself and Kaylin and Miss Hall, Brother Billy's two boys, went in there to eat. Benny said, you seen so-and-so? I said, no, who are you talking about? And he pointed her out. I said, God help, if I had to live with something like that, I'd beat it to death. Flagger! Stay in the hole! Somebody said, we got a worker to pay the bills. No, just scale down a little bit and learn to stay within your means. Be a good Republican. Be conservative. You'll catch that after a while. Amen. Notice where she's at. She's on a vine on the sides of the house. Listen to me, men. I want everybody to listen to me. You women ought to holler amen as loud as you can holler right here. The Lord said she's like a vine on the side of the house. That tells me that she's fragile, number one. You never seen anything any more fragile than a little vine? You just take it and break it. But she's also on the side of the house. She is fragile, and she needs support. She's a vine by the side of the house. The vine is chiefly an emblem of fruitfulness, but it also needs the support of some other structure in order to grow and to be fruitful. Look up at me, man. You want your wife to be what she ought to be? You're going to have to be what you ought to be. Now, I'm telling you that she is a fragile. A woman is fragile. And there's times in a woman's life when all you've got to do, and you may not mean anything by it, Just say something a little harshly and it'll break their heart. They are the weaker vessel. And as Brother Anderson pointed out, weaker vessel, denoting that man is weak, but they're weaker. Your wife is not to be handled like a bale of hay. She's not a rifle. She's not a fishing reel. She is a woman. Now, if she wants to put on her britches and strut around like a Mighty Joe Young, you may have to take a slapstick to her. But if your wife is a woman she ought to be, and she's got on something delicate wearing a dress, and she's just prim and proper and looks like a lady, buddy, I'll tell you, hey, better be fragile. And I'm telling you this, she needs some support. That vine is on the side of the house. I'm telling you, a woman cannot be any more than her man is. And if she's got a wimp for a husband, she has never excelled as a Christian. Now, I won't say this right here. Don't train your little girls to be little boys, and don't train your little boys to be little girls. I wouldn't want a woman to grow up and be like a man. Not my daughter. She's a girl. Tell her she's a girl. Train her up like a girl. Teach her like she's a girl. Said that sodomite up there was a governor resigned the other day. They ought to hung him. Oh, God. Hate crime. Let me go on and finish that. Hang him by his toes for 3 seconds. The vine is exceeding fragile. Therefore, the husband should remember they ought to behave themselves toward their wives patiently and prudently. She is the weaker vessel. Keeping in mind how fragile she is and the abundance of sweetness of the fruit she can provide. Walked up to Miss Hall. She's getting ready behind the mirror this morning. I said, "Come here, sweetheart." She said, "Honey, I got my makeup on." I said, "Just one little peck on the head and be all right." Are you listening to me? Ladies, be sweet. A man cannot stand a nagging woman. It's just something that's in us. I'd rather live in a little bitty corner with a good wife and on a housetop with a brawling woman. Be kind. I'm going to tell you, the sweeter you are to him, the more you're going to get out of him as a husband. And I tell you, husbands, the more you love her and give yourself to her, the more you get out of her as a wife, the happier you're going to be around the home. You can walk in your house whistling and smiling. Grab your wife, give her a big hug and a smooch and a welcome home kiss. Sit down and eat them pinto beans. Miss always cooking pinto beans tomorrow. I've been talking about them all day. I could eat a kettle full of them right now. Got the hungers for them. Listen carefully. The position of that vine. This vine is not on the roof, nor on the floor. One is too high. She's not a ruler. Get a hold of that, ladies? You're not a ruler. The other is too low, gentlemen, on the floor. She's not a slave. But it's on the sides of the house. An equal place between both. And you better learn that, gentlemen. Ladies, you better learn that you don't rule the home. I will say this, you do whatever you want to do, and you may not be able to do it. I know I've been criticized for this. My own pastor's criticized me for this. But I'm telling you right now, Gary L. writes out the checks in the Hall family. Amen. I pay the bills in the Hall family. Are you listening to me? It's the money the church gives me. It's for me and my family. And it's my responsibility to dispense that money properly. I pay the bills. She's got a checkbook. If she needs anything, all she's got to do, I don't. She writes out something for it, comes home and says, I wrote this check. I was writing down in my checkbook. But I pay the bills. Men need to take that authority in the home, y'all. Can I say this? A wife, you start getting a little behind and a little frustrated, a woman cannot take that stress. She's not built that way. She's not designed that way. She's not made up that way. Be a man! Shoulder the responsibility. And she's not your slave. She is not your slave. She's not your foot pants you wipe your feet on. She is not your old lady. Heard somebody say that the other day. My old lady. Well, I don't have an old lady. I've got a beautiful young bride. I'm closing with this. Notice the children. Thy children like olive plants round about the table. Now look here. Those children, what that is saying is those children feed upon what daddy provides. And it goes deeper, fellas, than putting beans and potatoes on the table. Let's spiritualize that. They're like olive plants around about a spiritual table. And what daddy has provided for. If you want your children to turn out right, then daddy, get right. Start living right. Provide a spiritual table for them. Be an example to them. And the thought there is, and I remember I used this 5 years ago, and Brother Robert shook his head and knew exactly what I was talking about. The thought there is, olive plants round about the table is like a venerable old stump of a tree. Any of you ever been out in the woods and you've seen where they cut the tree down? And about 8 or 10 what we used to call little sucker trees is coming up out of that old stump. Well, that's the fruit of that old stump. They're drawing their strength from that old stump. And they're going to grow too. Maybe not as big as he was. But they're going to grow too. Because they're drawing their strength from what he's provided. That stump, that tree is done. They'll never be productive anymore. But he's got enough laid up in them roots under the ground that those other little trees sprout up and grow. That's his children growing round about him. Now I'm telling you, fellas, look here, when you get old, I sat over at the house the other night, Tammy and Steve had their children over there. Steve was over, and all of a sudden in come, not been last night. Huh? Friday night, maybe. In come Doug and Lisa and all there. And I looked, I said, Lord, and I'm telling you, it's just like gabbling geese. I'm sitting there, I was looking around, I said, they were just, I mean, some, when they all hit together, it is like a whirlwind. It's like an atomic bomb exploded in the living room floor. But I looked around at them, and I thought to myself, glory to God, there's all them little olive plants. I said, all we need is Ben and Angie and everything. We'd have them all down here. We're going to have them all there at Thanksgiving. See them little olive plants around my table? And I'm going to teach them how to be thankful to God that day for what God's done for them. Every time they come and visit, we sit down and pray and bless food. I pray, ask God, thank God for letting them stay at the house with us and ask the Lord to save them, raise them up right, let them live for Him, help them to live for Him right in their presence. I'm not ashamed to tell them that. I asked them boys the other day, when you boys going to get right with God? When you going? I'm not going to read. I'm not going to read them in through a prayer. But what a blessing at Christmas time to be sitting at the house and all of them together there. And look here, Brother Hall is old, and my life is slipping away. It'll be gone before you know it.
But I've got these little fellas, these little boys and girls that's coming up. I tell them little boys, I said, you're going to protect Poppy when I get old. They said, Poppy, we won't let nobody hurt you. Them little boys, Doug's and Lisa's comes over and rakes my leaves and mows my grass. They do things for Poppy, and I'm watching. This old stump is about dead. But he's produced some little shoots, some little olive plants round about the table. And I hope the Lord will let me live long enough, and I'm serious. That, and I believe He will get a hold of this. He says in that last verse, yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. I have seen my children's children. Do you know what I'm hoping? I'm hoping He'll let me see my children's children. Children. Now, I ain't going to have to live too much longer to see that, Elizabeth. You're sweating at you, Doug. I can't imagine that my life is that far down. God's given me all these little kids. But I'm telling you, they lighten the life up. They're wonderful. I can truly say I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And I'm happy. Are you happy tonight, Daddy? You happy, Mama? If you ain't happy, I'll tell you, He's the one that can make you happy. Let's stand together, please.